So the title of my presentation today is Making Decisions After Experiencing a Fall. So it's really to look at the decision-making process among older women in South Carolina, and I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so let's talk about post-fall experiences, what happens after a fall. There are a number of studies on post-fall experiences. One of the first ones dates back to 1982, with Murphy and Isaacs, that talked about the post-fall syndrome, which really looked at the consequences of a fall, loss of confidence, fear of falling, which may lead to activity restrictions and greater risks of falling. Other studies discuss post-fall assessments. So, for example, Brenda Rowe and her colleagues found that older adults who reflected on their own experiences after a fall actually developed strategies to prevent future falls, and those who did not think about their experience just remained fearful of falling. So there are some post-fall experience literature, however, according to what we found, there is limited studies on this actual decision-making process, so whether or not people develop strategies or not after a fall in order to prevent future falls. So what I want us to focus on today is this decision-making conflict. Decision-making conflict, as defined by O'Connor, for example, is a difficulty or a feeling of uncertainty when choosing a course of action. And it can be manifested in different ways, so verbalizing uncertainty about the choices to make, alternating and hesitating between two options when making a decision, just delaying, taking a long time in making that decision, and actually having physical signs of distress in making that decision. And just a side note, I was in this decisional making conflict this morning in making a decision, so I I personally felt that distress, and Danielle here can witness that. I was a witness to that. So there are actually some modifiable factors to lower decisional conflict. So those could be, for example, having more knowledge about the different options and making, and actually the outcomes of those decisions. So if you go with one decision, you have less conflict if you understand what the results could be. So we were particularly interested in looking at the factors that would be associated with decision-making conflict after a fall. So we had three research aims. The first one was to identify the types of decisions older women make after a fall, because some of them were in the falls literature, but nobody specifically looked at that, right? So there's actually a broad range of decisions, as you'll see next. We were also interested in looking at the possible relationships between post-fall decisions and decisional conflict, and finally, whether there were any relationships between decisional conflict and specific individual factors. So the methods we used for this research, we developed and pilot tested a 67-item survey. And so this is all based on my dissertation, right? So the first phase was qualitative interviews, and with the results of that, we used the answers on the changes they made after a fall to develop this survey. So we came up with a long list of changes people make after a fall. Inclusion criteria, so we looked at women aged 65 and older who lived in South Carolina, who spoke and read English, and who had experienced a fall in the last 12 months, and who had suffered at least a minor injury, so meaning pain, bruise, cut, or something that limited their activities for at least one day. And we recruited 130 participants from 20 different cities in South Carolina. 65 participants were recruited in continuing care retirement communities, so in 10 different CCRCs, and another 65 participants were recruited in non-institutional homes, so senior housing, own homes, throughout the state. To recruit participants in the retirement communities, we worked with collaborators, with staff in each site who came up with a list of eligible participants, potential participants who had fallen without the last 12 months, who met all our eligibility criteria, and then contacted them, and we either organized a group survey session or an individual one-on-one survey in person. to recruit participants from the non-institutional homes. Basically, we distributed over 300 recruitment flyers in senior centers, geriatricians' offices, everything you can think of, AARP radio, everywhere. And so that's how we recruited 65 participants outside that setting. Okay, so like I said, we recruit 130 participants, all primary data collection. Just keep that in mind. And it was all in person, paper pencil, except for 15 out of 130 surveys. And that's because the participants were living in remote areas and it was not feasible to administer the survey in person. And every participant received $15 cash or a $15 gift card if they were in a remote location. And data collection, I didn't put that on here, but it was from January to March 2015, so at the beginning of the year. Okay, let's talk about the measures. So we assessed decision making by using O'Connor's Decisional Conflict Scale, which, like I said, represents the feelings of uncertainty or hesitancy when making decisions after a fall. So our dependent variable range was continuous and ranged from 0 to 100, and lower score on the decisional conflict scale meant lower decisional conflict, right? And lower, less uncertainty and possibly better decision making. For our independent variable, so like I was saying, so participants had a list of changes they made. They had to put a check mark beside every change that they had made. And then we wanted them to choose their top change after the fall. So we came up with a list of 130 changes they made, and then we grouped these top changes after the fall into three groups. So medical changes was our reference group, and then we have social decisions, social support, and corrective action. We also looked at other individual variables. So health literacy was one item. How often do you have help reading information from your doctor or pharmacy from a 5-point scale? And then we grouped it into high and low health literacy. Self-rated health, how would you rate your health? 5-point Likert scale, poor to excellent. History of fall, which we ended up grouping into one fall or more than one fall. Severity of falls, which looked at whether the injury was very minor all the way to very severe. Familiarity with care options. So this was looking basically at their knowledge of care options. So adult daycare, assisted living, nursing home, or skilled nursing. And then their openness to accepting this option if they were to have another fall and needed to consider this option. As a post-fall change. And then finally, demographics, age, race, education, location. Okay. To analyze the data, we used descriptive statistics first, frequencies, percentages. Then we ran bivariate analyses, so looking at all the variables and decisional conflicts, or our outcome measure. And that's when we found that all the individual variables, or a lot, like self-rated health, history of falls, and severity of falls, were not associated with decisional conflict. So we did not include them in these OLS regressions. So ordinary least square regression in Model 1, we just tested the relationship between post-fall decision category and decisional conflict. And then in Model 2, we ran a multiple regression. Assessing the effects of post-fall decision category, familiarity with assisted living, familiarity with nursing home, and health literacy on decisional conflict. And we used SPSS, and we were looking for a significance level of less than 0.05. Okay. So here are some demographics of our participants. Like I said, we had 130 participants, so the age range was from 65 to 99 years old. 82% were white, 58% reported experience missing more than one fall in the last year. So if we go back and consider the statistics that one out of three older adults falls every year, this is an important finding here, just that, yeah, people may fall more than once. We had participants reported high health literacy, and they reported actually making between 3 to 26 different changes after a fall. So If you think, here's three changes, being more careful, looking where you're walking, picking up your feet. So it's pretty understandable that they could make between 3 to 26 changes, on average 14 different changes after their falls in the last year. We didn't find significant differences between participants in the two groups, living in continuing care retirement communities versus non-institutional homes. And those, specifically for the post-fall variables, like decisional conflict, like number of changes made after the fall, frequency of falls, severity of falls, and even health literacy. So we had very comparable groups. And the most frequent response after a fall is to be more careful. So that was said by 94% of participants. So 122 out of 130 participants. Okay. Remember I talked, this is our independent variable. I talked about them ranking, choosing their top change after the fall. So according to participants, 66% made a corrective action. That was their top change after the fall. And that was basically anything they could do now to correct the situation with or without anybody's help. And so it could be things about the environment, removing rugs, using an assistive device, picking up their feet, introspection to, okay, do I need to do anything differently? I've had a fall. Do I need to not work 5 days a week, you know, like take it easy. Yep. And then 24% of participants said that their top change was a social support decision. So that's related to how to reach out for help, how to communicate with others in case of a fall. So using a life alert button, carrying a phone with you if you go in the garden, that type of thing. And 10% of participants made medical decisions after their fall, so this included treating the injuries, basically going to see a doctor, doing physical therapy. And the average score for decisional conflict was 18.4, so remember it was ranged from 0 to 100. So our regression here, yes, I was wondering if I was going to have that animation. You can see in model one that there's actually a significant, statistically significant relationship between post-fall decision category and decisional conflict. So social decisions and corrective decisions, people making those decisions experience less decisional conflict than our reference group, than people making medical decisions. So 11 points less or 8 points less on the decisional conflict scale. In model 2 here, we also found a significant difference between the social and medical categories when regressing on decisional conflict. We also found that those who were not familiar with assisted living had less decisional conflict than those who were very familiar. And we also saw here that people with less health literacy maybe experienced greater decisional conflict when making decisions after fall. So what does that mean? First, we saw that post-fall medical decisions were associated with greater decisional conflict compared to corrective and social decisions. And that may be because making medical decisions really may interrupt your life. You had a regular routine, and now you have to do something immediately to recover. So if you have a hip fracture, you have to go to the hospital, you have to get surgery. So it's a hard decision to make, but it may be one of the best you can do in that type of situations. Making social support decisions were associated with, may be associated with lower decisional conflict, possibly because reaching out to others helps you cope with a situation or reduces your stress. In making those types of decisions in this incident, and helps you cope also with the consequences of a fall. Corrective actions were associated with possibly higher levels of perceived control on the situation. Okay, no, I'm not going to let this happen again. What can I do to correct it? Which may help help them prevent future falls. And then health literacy, as referenced in previous literature, was associated with post-fall, or was associated with decisional conflict. And this may be explained by women integrating information that they read easier in their decision making and just understanding health conditions a little better than women with lower health literacy. So based on these results, we recommend developing plain language interventions and informational materials that can assist older women making post-fall decisions. And this can help them understand different options that they can make after a fall, which can decrease their uncertainty and help them make more informed decisions. And finally, we recommend educating health professionals, family members, on decisional conflict and on how women may be experiencing that after fall, and especially when it relates to medical decisions, just so everybody is involved in helping them, providing them information, helping them make better decisions after their falls. Thank you very much for your time.